ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. The Supreme Court rejecting a nationwide settlement that would have shielded the Sackler family from civil lawsuits stemming from the opioid epidemic. The decision is a blow to claimants who were hoping to receive money as part of that massive settlement with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma, but it's a win for those who are seeking to hold the Sackler family personally responsible. The Supreme Court also kicking a key abortion rights case back down to lower courts, and in doing so, allowing women in Idaho to get emergency abortions to protect their health.
Right now, that Idaho law has been stayed once again, and so the women in Idaho can get the care, the emergency care, that they need, if that includes the termination of a pregnancy in Idaho.
ABC's Terry Moran. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage eased this week, falling from 6.87% to 6.86%. The rate's still up from a year ago, though, according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. This is ABC News. China calling on scientists from around the world to join them in studying recently obtained samples from the moon.
Senior Chinese space official Bian Zigang confirms the call's gone out for experts around the world to come and help examine the rocks from the far side of the moon, with one exception, the U.S. The problem, he says, is the 2011 Wolf Amendment, which prevents direct U.S.-Chinese bilateral cooperation, which in this case hampers such exchanges. Meanwhile, further information on any preliminary observations is expected to be released soon. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A new study finding that taking daily multivitamins may not do much good for people who are otherwise healthy. The National Institutes of Health studied about 400,000 people and found multivitamin use did not reduce their risk of death from conditions like heart disease and cancer. The study did not examine people with vitamin deficiencies, however. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants and stuff.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. A teenager accused in the death of a counselor at Lincoln Hill School is being charged as an adult.
Investigators say Corey Prue was assaulted by 16-year-old Javarius Hurd on Monday. The attack caused Prue to hit his head on a hard surface, leading to a loss of brain function. He was pronounced dead on Tuesday. According to investigators, Hurd may have pre-planned the attack because he thought he was being treated unfairly by staff at Lincoln Hills. Hurd is being held on a $100,000 cash bond, facing felony counts for murder and reckless homicide. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Tony Evers has ordered U.S. and state of Wisconsin flags to fly at half-staff to honor Prue through sunset tonight. The governor adds that flags will also fly at half-staff on the day of Prue's interment. That hasn't been determined yet. Two people are dead following a crash in Waukesha County Wednesday morning. Sheriff's office there says a truck driven by a 49-year-old man in the city of Pewaukee rear-ended the car of a 76-year-old woman who died from the collision. The driver of the truck then continued into a road construction zone, hitting two workers. One of them, a 46-year-old man, died at a hospital, while the other, a 47-year-old man, received non-life-threatening injuries. The man driving the truck also suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The busy intersection was shut down for 4 hours following the crash, which authorities are investigating. One youth is dead, another critically injured after a possible drowning incident in Lake Michigan Wednesday night. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office says three juveniles were reported in distress in the water at a park along the lake in Oak Creek. First responders found one of the youths dead in the choppy waters of the lake, while two others were rescued. One of them, who was reported to be gasping for air, was hospitalized and is in critical condition. There's no word on the ages of the juveniles nor what led up to the incident. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Celebrate June Dairy Month by stopping at O'Galley Cheese for their Dairy Month special. For the whole month of June, get $1 off per pound of these delicious, flavorful cheeses. Banana Pepper Monterey Jack, Cappuccino Monterey Jack, Garlic Pesto Monterey Jack, Sweet Fire Mango Monterey Jack, Morel and Leek Monterey Jack, Bruschetta Monterey Jack, and Mediterranean Cheddar. These cheeses will make your taste buds dance. Special is good in-store and online at OGalleyCheese.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A high pressure system dominates the day, bringing calm winds, partly sunny skies, and cooler highs in the mid-70s. Clouds will start to thicken tonight as light showers push in tomorrow morning, and then storm chances spark up again at night. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
To reconsider mandated usage levels under the renewable fuel standard, the push is on to define used cooking oil, and USDA has asked for comments on climate smart ag practices. We'll jump into all three issues, and Midwest floods create a ton of shipping problems. We'll break it all down.
Live from the Breakdown via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Kurt Kovarik from the Clean Fuels Alliance. Then it's Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip Flory. Glad that you are joining us on this Thursday morning. Dude, it's report day. We get the quarterly hogs and pigs report out this afternoon.
Okay.
So just to make sure that everybody knows what is expected there, analysts expect USDA's hogs and pigs report this afternoon to show the U.S. hog herd increased 0.8% from a year ago on June 1. Market hog inventory is expected to be up 1.2%. Breeding herd is expected to be down 2.7%. But even with that smaller breeding herd and a slight decline in farrowings, the pig crop is expected to be bigger because of more pigs saved per litter. So almost a 1% increase in the spring pig crop. And then as we look forward, the farrowing intentions are sliding 1 to 1.5% for the summer and fall. So report day, there you go. There's the expectations. June 1, all hogs and pigs expected to be up slightly.
Okay, and lean hogs are just slightly lower this morning. The July down a dime, up to the Feb, we're off 40 cents is all today.
Yeah, yeah. You're exactly right in saying we're only down 40 cents in that market.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. All right, we've got Kurt Kovarik coming up in just a bit. We've got a lot of issues that we want to talk about in the bio-based diesel arena, and then we're going to talk about some shipping issues with Mike Steenhook. Looking forward to all that. All right, let's get to it. What you got, buddy?
Well, Chip, the National Weather Service is calling for severe thunderstorms capable of very large hail and damaging wind gusts around 80 miles per hour. This is across portions of the central and northern plains today into the nighttime hours. Furthermore, locally heavy rainfall may result in isolated instances of flash flooding. Monsoon-like conditions persist for the Four Corners region where additional flooding is possible through tonight. Chip, when it rains, it pours has never been more true. We keep seeing these same areas. We saw it earlier this year with North Texas, and now we're seeing it through the Midwest and in the Four Corners region. Dude.
Right, right. Yeah, every time we get more rain on already soaked soils, it's creating issues for the guys in those areas, no doubt.
Well, Chip, private exporters reported sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. Do we have any idea who this might be, Chip?
Yeah, it's got to be. I would say it's got to be China in this case. And I'm one that will normally say, don't assume that it's China when we see unknown. In this case, just simply because China is so underbought on its new crop bean needs. I got to believe that this is China getting some coverage.
Ooh, look here, breaking news. August lean hogs now switched to positive, up a nickel on the day. Huh? How do you like them apples? Tonight will be the first debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump and will likely determine who will be the next president, say several observers. There will not be a live audience. There will be no interruptions. Microphones will be muted unless it's the candidate's turn to speak. The debate begins at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, lasts 90 minutes, including two commercial breaks. More than half of the U.S. adult population will be watching the showdown, with 57% of the public saying they are extremely or very likely to tune in to at least some of the debate or some of the follow-up commentary. Yeah. Rick, we'll talk about it on the free-for-all tomorrow. What do you expect?
I reckon we will. You going to tailgate in front of this, or what, do you, what are your plans?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
It's the first tailgating opportunity of the election season, and it comes early. Well, USDA will soon announce financial aid for dairy farmers affected by HPAI through the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish program. The aid will cover 28 days of milk loss per cow over a 134-day period based on the monthly all-milk price and expected milk production per cow. And I didn't put it in here, Chip. We haven't really talked much about it, but testing, they're starting to do more tank testing and batch testing and things like that. Lots more testing happening here on the HPAI.
And don't forget what Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy told us earlier this week. He is pushing for compensation for cows that were lost, that died from HPAI, or had to be culled after being infected with HPAI.
Well, Chip, U.S. ag groups reacted to USDA's latest proposed Packers and Stockyards rule titled Fair and Competitive Livestock and Poultry Markets. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Vice President of Government Affairs Ethan Lane calls the proposed rule, quote, a direct attack on cattle producer profitability.
But boy, there are others out there that are saying this is the best thing since sliced bread because it's going to give the ability to break up the meat packer cartel that is out there. So there are producers on both sides of this issue, no question.
Well, Chip, the recent flooding in the northwestern Corn Belt has led to significant disruptions in ag operations, prompting the issuance of force majeure declarations from multiple plants in the region. The situation is expected to result in shortages of finished products and delays in grain shipments. The force majeure declarations for corn shipping stations were based on flooding along the Illinois River, and we'll have Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Coalition for more later. Chip.
Exactly. All right, let's bring in Greg Henderson, Editorial Director of Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Chip. I'm fine, thank you.
That is a monster of a feedlot that's going up out in Nebraska. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, Chip, despite the smallest cow herd in 73 years and the smaller feeder cattle supplies, there is a group of investors putting together a 150,000-head feed yard in southwest Nebraska, and it's all going to be on concrete, Chip. That's a square mile on concrete.
Oh.
And these people are using what they call a closed-loop system, and this is specifically being designed for as a beef-on-dairy feedlot. And the closed-loop system includes a semen provider working with dairies to, you know, get the right matings. And then there's a contract with the dairies in the feed yard. So this feed yard will not be competing for feeder cattle in the open market because they're contracting all of their needs through these dairies. So that's the closed-loop, Chip.
Yep.
And they'll all be identified with animal ID, so we'll know performance and efficiency data, and to further improve the matings for future generations. Yes. It's really innovation into the feeding sector through the beef on dairy. Wow, it's a big project. There will also be a biodigester, which is the reason for the concrete, where we can pick up the manure and use it. But wow, it's a crazy.
I can't wait to see this thing.
It's
going to be impressive. You and I, we've been talking about how beef on dairy was going to change the industry. Well, here it is. It's changing, and now they're using the data and the technology to accelerate the genetic performance of these animals. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Greg Henderson, thanks, buddy. Editorial Director at Drovers.
spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedamh.com.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, Davis.
This bump plays.
Yeah.
Do you think people owe neater if we're going to talk about the movie and like use fake words and things like that? Do you think they owe neater that?
There's no question. Well, I often owe neater if we're going to get into a conversation about, you know, the wonders and everything that goes on around that. Thank you, Davis.
Appreciate the way I see it, every day that starts out with the O'Neaters is an O'Neaterful day.
That's where I
come from.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is the O'Neater, Davis Michelson. And let's get into this conversation about what's going on in some of the biofuels arena. We've got Kurt Kovarik, VP Federal Affairs for the Clean Fuels Alliance America. Kurt joins us right now. Hey, Kurt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing extraordinarily well, Chip. Glad to be with you.
Glad that you are here because, boy, talk about some news, and you guys are right in the middle of it right now. You filed a formal petition asking EPA to reconsider RFS volumes for 2024 and 2025. What is that all about, Kurt?
Yeah, great question. So what we had was in June of last year, EPA set volumes for all fuels under the renewable fuel standard for 2023, 2024, and 2025, a three-year period. We were terribly disappointed in the volumes that they set last June and predicted that we would have reduced capacity, reduced investment, both in production of the fuel as well as expansions in the soy crush that we were anticipating. And to some extent, that is borne out. And what we did on Monday was we filed, it's not litigation, but it is a formal petition requesting that the EPA administrator reopen that renewable volume obligation proposal and adjust upward the volumes for 2024 and 2025 based on the fact that production trends were exactly where we predicted. And to give you kind of in clear terms what this means, in 2023, our industry produced 4.6 billion gallons of fuel, yet the volumes that EPA set were right around 3 billion. So 1.5 billion gallons above what EPA set. And you might say, well, what's the impact of that? Well, the impact of that is it sends the wrong signal to the industry. We have reduced prices for commodities. We have plant closures. We've had a plant close in Iowa and one in Wisconsin. And so what does that mean? It's all foregone economic activity in rural America. It's less fuel. It's less energy security. And it's more carbon emissions. So our ask is that EPA reopen it based on real-world data and hopefully adjust those volumes upward as a result.
Okay. The way I see this, Kurt, is really what we're looking for is the investors need the certainty that comes along with the mandated usage levels. And they've been conditioned to expect that, haven't they?
It's all about the market signals. And that's what we had leading into 2023. You know, we had just had the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act that created new tax incentives for biofuels based on carbon intensity. And we had somewhat robust volumes under the RFS. We were hoping that trend would continue. And EPA had that opportunity with a three-year set, and they did the exact opposite. I mean, they over the three-year period, the final proposal that they set had us increasing volumes by 600 million gallons over the full three-year RVO proposal. But we increased production from 22 to 23 by a full billion gallons. We'd already blown through the volume increases in the in the first 5 months of 2023 that EPA had available to them when they finalized the proposal. So it's just completely disconnected with reality. And our point is it has real world implications and you need to fix it.
Right. I think the bottom line to this, Kurt, is that the market is demanding more than what is included in the RFS. Is that kind of the bottom line?
It is kind of, and the good thing is, you know, maybe 20 years ago or 15 years ago, the RFS was the only policy driving low carbon biofuels. Today, it's kind of a three-legged stool. We've got the renewable fuel standard, we've got state low carbon fuel policies or mandates and incentives throughout the Midwest, and we also have corporate boardroom policies are driving it. And right now, what we're seeing is rail wants low carbon biomass based diesel because they've got no other alternative to decarbonize. Cargo, cruise lines, aviation, home heat, all of these industries are looking for solutions that are to some extent being thrust upon them. Some of them are self-initiated, and that is to reduce carbon to respond to global changes in climate. And many of these transportation sectors and in home heating, our fuel is essentially a drop-in fuel that delivers immediately, you know, on average of 75% less carbon emissions.
Right.
They want more fuel. But to facilitate that, you've got to have government policies that also support that build out and support that market growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, the buildup of the market in that home heating market in the Northeast, Kurt, we talk about a success story. It's incredible what's happened up there, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a 4 billion gallon market. And, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. I really didn't have any understanding of what oil heat was until I got engaged in this industry and we started looking at the industry in the Northeast. But it's basically family owned small business enterprises who deliver that oil heat to all these residences who many times have the oil heat tank right in their basement. And I think there's a lot of folks who think, oh, well, we can replace all of this with heat pumps or electric or natural gas. Well, the fact of the matter is you can't, either because the logistics won't facilitate it, or most often the cost is prohibitive. I mean, $20,000 to $40,000 to retrofit a house to put in an electric heat pump, or do you want to just put in bioheat, 100% biomass based diesel, and get you 80% of the way there, cleaner burning, less toxic emissions than petroleum? It's a win-win. So that is a great market for our industry, and one that we're hoping to really, you know, get a foothold in.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But that's the case across, you know, we have all this, you know, everyone wants to talk about sustainable aviation fuel and decarbonizing over-the-road trucking and construction equipment. You know, that's not going to happen through electrification. I'm not sure last time you were on an airplane that was battery-powered or plugged in. I haven't seen one. So I think it makes sense to facilitate policies that get you the lowest cost, easiest to deploy technology, and that happens to be, you know, farmer-produced biomass-based diesel.
Okay. There is also an effort on to get a clear definition of used cooking oil. I can't believe that we need to go through this, but here we are. It's the current state of the way things are. What's the situation here?
Yeah. Well, you know, and this is a complicated issue because, you know, the question comes down to, and, you know, this is being driven by the demand for low carbon intensity feedstocks. And as you know, our industry produces biomass-based diesel from a whole host of feedstocks, whether it's soy or canola oil, animal fats, distillers corn oil, and used cooking oil. We've seen kind of a global trade now in these low CI feedstocks. Some people, you know, that may disagree generally with the reliance upon foreign feedstocks. Some are concerned about whether the feedstock is what it's claimed to be. Our view is we absolutely want to maintain the integrity of both the renewable fuel standard, our trade laws, our tax laws, to ensure that the feedstock is what it's being conveyed. Fraud has no place in our industry, would give us all a black eye. We need to do everything we can to address any kind of fraudulent activity. Beyond that, you know, I recognize that there's a little bit of anxiety about the use of foreign feedstocks. My response would be, this is a problem that EPA created with low RVOs. If the RVOs matched where the industry was, we'd have demand, you know, significant demand for all feedstocks. And don't forget, we're using right now record levels of soybean oil in the biomass-based diesel industry, more than 1 billion pounds a month, consistently going back, I think, to May of last year. We're the leading user of soybean oil. So I want to dispel any myths that, you know, the global trade of feedstocks is somehow displacing domestic feedstocks. It's not. We're all demand for feedstocks is growing, which is a good thing. And we wish that it would be supported even further by higher RVOs from EPA to grow that domestic demand even greater.
Right. Right. Okay. Kurt, we are out of time. I would love to get into the USDA request for information regarding the Climate Smart Ag practices. We're going to have to do that again some other time. Hopefully we'll get you back on here soon and we can do that, okay?
Would be happy to. Always glad to be with you.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Kurt. That is Kurt Kavorek, VP Federal Affairs for the Clean Fuels Alliance America. All right, we're going to be talking about some shipping issues. We've got Mike Steenhoek from the Soy Transportation Coalition next.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it.
Visit admregenerations.com to learn more.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk up 6 to 1958, August down 6 to 2044, September steady at 2060, October milk up 2 at 2035. Livestock markets, the live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower as the trade continues to await the cash markets to develop, and they do not want to move the markets higher until they see some actual strength in the cash markets, even though boxed beef prices have been higher. Hog markets moving mostly lower after moving higher to start the day. Positive export inspection news, but a lot of positioning ahead of that hogs and pigs report later today. June live cattle up 60 cents to 193.52. August feeder cattle down 60 cents to 261.17. July hogs down 87 cents to 89.02. Meanwhile, corn markets are slightly lower today. A lot of positioning ahead of the USDA crop report. Warmer weather looks to persist for into July, and that is could help many areas that have had too much rain, but corn is becoming oversold. Soybean futures, meanwhile, moving up mostly lower. Meal and oil are also narrowly mixed. Near-term moisture should help crop development. Meanwhile, wheat markets moving mostly higher. Short covering is helping to support the markets, even though their harvest does continue. New crop corn down 1.5 to 435. New crop beans down 3/4 to 1106 and a quarter. July wheat up 19 3/4.
Farmers, is your stress starting to affect your work or your relationships? Feeling stress about finances or weather is common in farming. You're not alone. It can happen to any of us. From vouchers for in-person counseling to telecounseling from the comfort of your home, the Wisconsin Farm Center is here to help. If you're feeling overwhelmed, take that first step. Call toll-free 888-901-2558. That's 888-901-2558. A message from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. We've been trying to stay up with all of the issues created by the high waters in areas of the Midwest, along the Mississippi, along the Missouri River. You look at some of the flooding of towns in northwest Iowa in particular, but southern Minnesota is included in that. We've got the Vermilion River is creating all kinds of issues in South Dakota. So it is... regionalized, but it is certainly not isolated, these flooding events. And whenever we get into this, we always think about what might this be doing to our ability to move product and grains around the Midwest. And when we think about that, I always think, I wonder what Mike's looking at. Mike Steenhook, the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, joins us right now. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
I am doing fine, Chip. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So there you go. You heard the intro into the conversation. What are you focused on right now? Where seems to be where areas might be developing some issues?
Yeah, you know, so you really had kind of the big flash moment this past weekend when you had these areas be inundated with 10 12, 17 inches of rain in a short period of time. But then that'll have an immediate impact on infrastructure like a gravel road, or very dramatically, you saw this BNSF railroad bridge that collapsed over the Big Sioux River near Sioux City.
Yeah.
But then what happens is that subsequent surge of water then really has a tax on the levee system for these small, medium, or even larger rivers like the Missouri River. And just kind of watching to see what's happening with that. And you're seeing some examples of some of these levees that are breaking that feed into the Missouri River. So that's something that's obviously a real concern for us moving forward. But I think, you know, the temptation is to think it for people to say, well, that is a regional problem. My heart goes out to them, but how is that going to impact me? I'm geographically far removed from it. And one of the things that we always continue to learn and see reinforced to us when it comes to supply chain issues is that a disruption over there will eventually have an impact on me over here. And a really good example of that is so that this railroad bridge in near Sioux City closed. Well, BNSF Railway's remedy for that, they had to reroute traffic, was to have it go through Creston, Iowa. Well, Creston, Iowa is, for those of you who know the geography of the state, that's in the south central part of Iowa. So what they're doing is they're rerouting it onto their main line that runs east and west through about, you know, two thirds of the way down south, three fourths of the way down south through the state of Iowa. Well, now all of a sudden, that area of the state is far removed from, and that entire network, far removed from the actual inundation of water. But yet all of a sudden you've got additional freight and additional demand for that infrastructure in your area. So you see that happening is how it has an impact, not just confined to the problem area, if you will, but it can really extend throughout the whole network.
Well, yeah. What are you hearing on that bridge up there, Mike? Is there any indication from BNSF what the future might be for that bridge?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's going to take a period of time. You know, first of all, you have to kind of let the waters recede, and then to be able to assess what kind of damage was done to the substructure, the actual ground itself, and then you develop your plan accordingly. And so it is going to take a considerable period of time to see that get eventually remedied. Something else that is important to keep in mind is, you know, a lot of people may think, well, there's not a lot of soybean exports that occur during this time of the year. So fortunately, that's a silver lining. And that is true. But that whole corridor of the country, this northwest quadrant of Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, parts of Nebraska, is responsible for a sizable portion of our soybean processing capacity as a nation.
Yep.
And those are facilities that have 365-day inbound and 365-day outbound because it's a plant. It's processing soybeans. And a lot of that freight ends up going over that very infrastructure to maybe the livestock industry or to the Pacific Northwest for export. So this is the infrastructure that's going to have an impact on those products, which obviously is a concern for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the investment that AGP is making in moving, you know, adding on to their crush facilities, and they are looking at moving that soybean meal into the PNW. It just feels like that's going to everything that's happening right now is going to have an impact on how that develops and how quickly that market develops out to the PNW, won't it?
Yeah, and you know, and it impacts the farmers on the inbound. So if a bridge gets washed out or a rural road, but then it also has an impact on the outbound journey. Obviously, about a 5-day rail journey to the Pacific Northwest, Grays Harbor, and particularly for AGP, and that infrastructure has now been compromised. Now, I think the railroads do a pretty commendable job of being able to respond to restore their network, but this is still, you know, we're talking about railroad bridges and we're talking about track and ballast and those kind of things. And that's a pretty big task. So it's something that's going to be with us for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the Missouri River, you mentioned it. We're keeping a close eye on some of the levees and so on. Has there been any disruption of activity on the Mississippi, or excuse me, on the Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, we're still, you know, fortunately, river levels are receding a bit. And so, you know, there's obviously been an interruption of service now. But when you kind of look at the forecast, and obviously it's all dependent on what kind of subsequent rain we receive, but hopefully we'll be, and provided that levees hold, is that we should be kind of back to some degree of normalcy. But showing just how dramatically things can change, a week ago, there was only a 4-foot difference on the Missouri River between June 20th of 2024 and June 20th of 2023. Only a 4-foot difference in water levels.
Okay.
Now there's a 20-foot difference in water levels. Jeez. So just how much it can just escalate in a short period of time. And that obviously, when you throw that much water in anything, that's going to really tax the system.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. But you went straight to talking about the rail system and some of the issues that the high water is creating for it. And I think that's got to be the biggest area of disruption, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the real big concern for me. Yep. Just given the soybean processing that occurs up there, and then the fact that that's such an important linkage to the domestic livestock market and the Pacific Northwest.
Right. Right. Now, it sounds like there are some issues further east, too. You know, we've got the high water on the Mississippi. There's going to be at least some moderate flooding in the upper Mississippi River. But I don't think there's going to be any major disruption of movement on the Mississippi, is there?
I'm not anticipating that. No, I think you could have some closures of locks for a period of time because maybe the water would overreach those. Yeah. So that's something we're keeping in mind. But yeah, obviously as you get further removed geographically from the area of impact, Northwest Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, et cetera, there's more area for the river system to absorb that surge of water. And so you kind of see that when you're seeing the projections of water levels. But obviously, again, it depends upon how much rain we get in the future. And we've got saturated soils right now, and we're going to be getting some additional rainfall. Obviously, that's something that we're going to have to keep monitoring.
Right, right. What's the situation on the Illinois River, Mike? Because it looks like the CME has decided that they may have to make some adjustments on delivery points for deliveries against futures contracts, at least for a short period of time. What's the situation on the Illinois?
You're seeing, obviously what's getting all of the attention is what we've been talking about. But yeah, there's an abundance of water elsewhere in the country, and that includes the whole Illinois watershed. And so that's obviously having an impact on the viability of the Illinois River right now. So that's obviously one more thing to keep mindful of.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. No doubt. So, I'm asking a lot when I'm asking this question. I understand this, Mike, but the outlook for the rest of the summer, what have you been able to put together and what do you anticipate for the rest of the summer here?
Yeah, obviously the projections on what does the spigot from up high eventually get turned off and we no longer get rain. But I do anticipate that we will be in a better, more period of normalcy when it comes to water levels on the Mississippi River and elsewhere, because you've got the soils that are pretty saturated. So you've got residual water that will continue to feed into streams and rivers and to help support navigation on the Mississippi and other rivers. In contrast, the last couple of years where so much of farm ground was one big dry sponge. And so what that pretended to me is that's going to require a ton of water from precipitation in order to turn the tide. We at least have some good moisture in the soils. Yeah. We obviously want to depart from the flooding, of course.
That's right. That's right. Mike, it's always informative to have a conversation with you. It puts a lot of things in perspective for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chip. Take care.
Hey, you bet. Mike Steenhoek, the executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. We're talking floods, and he went straight to rail, right where I thought he would. Davis and I will be right back.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Joining us is Larry Lemke. He is from Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? You know, we've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation. And now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay, what's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature. Instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business, we're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors. You drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil. And so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical,
dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you on your, gosh, it's Thursday morning. Chip, I've been like a day off, like all week.
Yeah?
No, that's not actually quite true. I keep thinking that, like, even Monday, I was thinking, man, I'm ready for Friday. I'm so glad tomorrow's Friday.
Whoa.
I was thinking this on Monday. I've been thinking this every single day. Oh, at least tomorrow's Friday.
Holy smokes, you're into the dog days of summer already, aren't you?
We're finally there. Tomorrow really is Friday.
Man, it hasn't even be okay. Are you going to make it?
It hasn't even been that big of a week, you know?
Just, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I do know why I'm so excited for the weekend. I've got Royals tickets. We're going to see the Royals on Hawaiian Shirt Day on Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic. Good.
Looking forward to it. We've been planning this a long time. It's going to be a great time. So that have something to do with my my building excitement
for
the weekend. That might be it.
So Hawaiian Shirt Day?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
You best believe we're going to be there early, too. I'm getting one.
Oh, my goodness. What are your expectations for the debate tonight?
I think it's going to be interesting. At first, I bristled a little bit with the mute button thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear some commentary last night saying that that might actually sort of work to temper some of the Trump fire before he can really get some momentum going and, you know, sort of bully his way. Talking over questions or talking over the moderator and whatnot, they're just going to shut it down. That might actually help him to appear just a little less of a firebrand.
If they interrupt him with the mute button once.
Yeah, I know.
His ability to maintain composure through that is going to be tested.
If he can get through the first one, I think he can make it through the night. I think. If he can get over that first hump.
Well, you know, and a lot of it depends on the camera angles that they're going to be using on this too, as far as how people react to the use of the mute button. I mean, remember, was it, I believe it was Al Gore that could not stop rolling his eyes.
Yes.
In a debate.
Yep.
And they wouldn't take the camera off him, even though he wasn't saying anything. He was rolling his eyes like crazy. Big Apple Joe, if you remember that, jump in. But he was rolling his eyes so much that the public kind of turned against him.
Yep.
That happened.
Yeah.
There was that. I like when he walked up to then Governor Bush and when the time was running out and Bush just looked at him and gave him that curt nod. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, that's right. That is right. But here it is, June 27th, and we are already going to have the debate that, as far as I can tell, Davis, most are saying voters are going to make up their minds after tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to wait for the October surprise. Let's see what they serve up for us. You know, whoever brings out the sexiest October surprise, maybe that's.
get good marks coming out of the debate. American voters, how did we allow the bars to be set so low for the debate, for the presidential debate?
Well, I'll tell you how. It's the division here, and the everybody's sort of stuck and entrenched in their own camps to already have made a decision by such a proportion of surveyed voters. Just tells us it doesn't really matter what happens in the debate. People have already made up their minds. I'm for this candidate. The other guy's a criminal. He sucks. And that's just the way it is. Minds are already made up, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not the least bit surprised.
And the thing is, I mean, both sides going into the debate tonight are going to use the other guy's a criminal.
Sure they do.
I mean, that is bipartisan agreement comes in the fact that they believe the other guy is a criminal.
Yeah. And what we want to hear is, how are you going to make ice cream cheaper? Yeah. How are you going to make trade agreements? How are you going to deal with Vladimir Putin? These are the things that we need to be talking about. I don't care if either one of them is convicted of something. For crying out loud, our enemies are aligning together. You know? Dude, this is Nerf ball, and we need to be playing the Super Bowl here right now.
Right.
Somebody needs to show up.
Right. Great take. Great take right there. Yeah. We need to get, and it is going to be I think, Davis, it's going to be an impressive event. In other words, it's going to leave an impression on everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
And because of that, man, I'm really looking forward to the conversation with the guys tomorrow morning on the free-for-all.
Yeah. And you're already looking forward to Friday, aren't you?
Yeah, huh? Oh, there you go.
See? I knew it all along.
I think there might be different reasons why we're looking forward to Friday. I'm not sure. Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome. So awesome. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. We're going to have the free-for-all coming your way tomorrow morning. And this afternoon, we've got Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners right here on AgriTalk.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880. So if you've been injured in